The first scripture reading is taken from two different passages. The first is Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. And this will be followed up by a second scripture reading. Psalm 139, reading from verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. The second passage of scripture, if you could turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, reading from the second part of verse 7 all the way to verse 10. 2 Corinthians 12, reading from 7, the second part of 7. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us stand for the gospel reading. Gospel reading is taken from John chapter 17, verses 15 to 17. Glory to Christ, our Savior. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. This is the gospel of Christ.
Men, please be seated. Not too long ago, there was a show that was released. And the title of this show is called Ugly Dolls. Who watched this? Ugly Dolls? In this show, there is a doll factory, and the doll factory mass produces the dolls. And from the main factory, the dolls go to one of two places. The dolls that have no factory defect, they will go to the Institute of Perfection. So these are the very pretty, good-looking dolls that are almost perfect. So they will go to this institute to pass various tests to become the perfect toy that every child wants. And then there is Institute of Perfection. There is also Uglyville. And Uglyville is where the dolls that are rejected live in. They are there because they don't pass the QC checks. They have imperfections. They look different, like this. And because of that, they were rejected. Although it's pitched as a children's movie, when the movie came out, many liked the movie because they can identify with it. For our society today emphasizes so much on perfection, that it makes us feel at times that we are ugly. Just look at all the picture perfect social media posts on Instagram and TikTok. Many will feel, oh no, I'm not like that, I don't fit in. And so they feel left out, isolated, neglected, or alone. They imagine, I'm not loved, I'm a mistake, I'm a failure. Today, what we pray to do is to expose these lies. Today, I pray that we will know that we are each fearfully and wonderfully made. We began this mental health series 2 weeks ago, and I showed us from Psalm 102 that mental distress and faith, they are not mutually exclusive. Meaning a person can have faith and still be in mental distress. Last week, Pastor Tat Ming reminded us that mental distress is part of the fall, and the Lord can use our scars and thorns like the Japanese art of kintsugi, where broken pottery is glued back by gold, and it becomes even more beautiful than before. And today, as we wrap up this mini-series, I pray that the Lord will help us to realize that each one of us, we are so loved, precious, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, even when there is a thorn in the flesh present. So Father, I pray for your presence in our midst. I pray that you fill this sanctuary and the space in our hearts with your presence. Help us to hear your message that each one of us, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that your grace is sufficient for us. Teach us, Father, to hear your voice over and above the voice of others, including society. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. In Psalm 139:14, a very familiar psalm, we read, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So we are fearfully and wonderfully made. To be fearfully made means that we are carefully made. To be wonderfully made means, answered as wonderful, means we are special, yes? So in verse 13, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. When does the formation, the creation happen? In the womb itself. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So the formation was taking place while we were still in our mother's womb. God didn't know David, the author of this psalm, when he received Christ, or when he was an adult, or when he was born, but God knew him right when he was still in his mother's womb. And in the womb, God created his inmost being. The inmost being refers to the core of who he is. It refers to the center, a person's psyche or true self. Many times we don't know about ourselves. We want to find out and learn about ourselves. Some people say they spend their whole lives trying to find and learn about themselves. But here, David is saying God knows his psyche, his true self. God knows his identity, his life, his hopes, his gifts, his talents, how he loves, how he plans, how he decides. God created all of that. God created his inmost being. And see from scripture, the loving care that God takes. Pay attention to the word knit. So we are not created by the snapping of fingers or by the push of buttons, but David writes that we are knitted together. So imagine the picture with me that God sitting down, knitting, at rest, knitting, needle by needle, thread by thread. It takes place slowly and carefully. The whole point is we are not mass produced. It's a very personal encounter and touch. We are knitted, handcrafted by God. You know, the human body is the most complex and unique organism ever. I say I have a young face, but a very old body. Not too long ago, I did a cataract operation. And through the surgeon, I learned of the intricacies, how intricate the eye is. As the doctor explained to me about the eye, I can't help but marvel that I'm indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. It's really amazing, you know. The surgeon and I, as we talked, concluded that no matter how science progresses, it cannot replace the natural eye. How the natural lens can adapt and change to enable vision, it's amazing. Just think of how life is when it's first conceived. From the one fertilized cell within the womb, it develops all the different tissues, organs, systems. It works together in a coordinated process. The function of the digestive tract, the related organs, the working of the heart, the formation of the nerves, of the blood vessels, the cleansing of the blood through the kidneys, the complexity of the inner and middle ear, the sense of taste and smell, so many other things we barely can understand. Each one is a marvel. There is no way that we can replicate it at all. The human brain itself is an amazing organ, fearfully and wonderfully made. It can learn, reason, control so many automatic functions of the body, our heart rate, blood pressure, breathing, to maintain balance, to walk, run, stand, sit, and all the while we can still concentrate on other things. We can multitask, but some do it better than others. The brain, Emily Dickinson says, is wider than the vast sky. I pray that we see, church, that we are the handiwork of God, needle by needle. Do you already see it? In the second part of the verse, David writes, not only he praises God because he's fearfully and wonderfully made, he knows that full well. David proclaims that he knows that fully well. The word full well can be translated as honestly. He honestly knows it. You and I, we have seen this verse before. We seen cards, we send pictures like this to each other, posters. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have heard sermon after sermon on it, but do you believe it? Do you honestly know it? Or sometimes the truth becomes cliche for you and I because our hearts are hardened and not moved by the amazing hand of God. I pray today that the truth will grip at our hearts, that we will know that we are not a mistake. You are not an outcast. You are not rejected. When God made you, He didn't blink. He doesn't make mistakes, you see. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, God didn't miss something. He knew it when He crafted you with His hands and breathed life into you. It's true, today our culture and society will send a different message. They will lead you to believe that you don't fit in. The world will want to stick and say something of your value and worth and what it means to be human, what it means to be successful. The culture will want you to question God's design and purpose for you. But church, you need to realize the truth for yourself. It's like when you place a spoon in a glass of water that's only 2/3 full, it appears that the spoon is bent or broken. But you and I know that that is not so. This is refraction. We know that the spoon is neither bent nor broken, but it simply looks that way because of the light. As the light passes through the water, there is a distortion that is created. So the world that we live in now created some sort of a refraction, a distorted view of life, so that people looking at life and living life in a way, we are living in a way that culture has defined it. But never let that define God's love for you or change your identity. Last weekend, we were reminded by Pastor Tak Ming as he preached and shared. He spoke also of Paul's thorn in the flesh. And this week, I pray to help us see that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, even when the thorn is still in the flesh. Even if the thorn doesn't seem to be taken away. You see, Paul writes of this thorn in his flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, in our second reading this afternoon. Paul writes, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Paul says, to prevent him from welling up with spiritual pride, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. What is this thorn? When you think of thorn, you will think of a rose with the thorn over there. So it pricks you and your finger bleeds a little bit. That thorn is irritating, but it won't kill you. But here, the word thorn actually means stick, a large stick. This is what you use when you want to spear someone in battle. It's something that you use to kill. So the thorn, the big stick, is there and remains there to always remind Paul to be humble. So what is this big stick or thorn Some scholars say it's psychological. Some say it's a physical sickness. Some say it's something that literally sticks out, so it affects Paul. We don't know what it is because scripture is silent. And this may not be a bad thing because we don't know what Paul's thorn is. You and I, this afternoon, can identify our own thorns with Paul's. And I want us to see that the first thing that Paul, when he had that thorn, he didn't see it as a gift, you know. He pleaded with God for deliverance. So when he had the thorn, Paul says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. So Paul is human, you know, like any one of us here. When the thorn is there, we don't appreciate the value of the thorn. We pray for it to be removed. Then as we pray, we wait. Nothing happens at times. Nothing happens. Even for Paul, there wasn't a quick fix miracle. He pleaded with the Lord 3 times. The word pleaded is a strong word. In the gospel, this word is used most frequently as an earnest appeal for Jesus to heal the sick. It's a begging word. So Paul was begging God. He was pleading with him. Did God answer Paul? It's a real question. Did God answer Paul? Yes, he did. But it's just that God's answer is different from what Paul wanted to hear. What you and I would have expected and thought. So Paul pleaded with God, remove my thorn. How does God reply? God says in the next verse, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God says to Paul, I will give you the strength to overcome your weakness. The thorn, the stick is not taken away, but God says, I will give you the grace to go through it. I will give you the strength to go through it. When our lives are running smoothly, we tend to rely on our own human strength. But when there are trials, storms that come our way, when our physical strength fades away, we become weak. In this moment of weakness, we turn to Christ, and it becomes not us, but now we rely on God's strength. So when we are weak in our human strength, God takes over. Each time Paul asks of the Lord, remove my thorn, he hears the comforting message and reply of God saying, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. So God gives Paul that encouraging message, but there is another message in the thorn. You look at verse 7 again. Paul describes the thorn as a messenger of Satan to torment me. So while we read of God's comforting message to Paul, saying my grace is sufficient for you, the same verse tells us there is another message, one from God and one from Satan. So there is one thorn, but 2 messages. And although both are messages from the same thorn, they are not the same. Years ago, my wife Priscilla was teaching our boy, Ruel, Mandarin. And Mandarin words really sound alike. Amen? Amen, amen. So mommy was trying to get Ruel to say elephant in Mandarin. What's elephant? Da xiang. But my boy said,
okay, Ruel, what is this?
Xiang qiao.
Are you sure? What animal is this in Chinese? 这是什么动物呢?
大象
What is it again?
大象
Very good.
Hey, goodbye, I love you, good night.
I use this with permission, by the way. So, the elephant is 大象. Banana is 香蕉. What is similar? X-I-A-N-G. They look alike, they sound alike, but they are very different things. Not all X-I-A-N-G are alike. In the same way, one thorn, 2 messages, but the 2 messages that come to you will be very different. Not all are true and good. It's Timothy Keller who shared that when something bad happens, Satan attaches a message to the thorn, like an email attachment. It comes with it, you see. What discourages you is not the thorn itself, but the message that goes along with the thorn. One thorn, two messages. One from God that says, my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And the other, also a message, but from Satan. When I was in primary 5, my family prayed very, very hard for my father to get well. He was suffering from leukemia. The church prayed, we prayed, he passed on. The passing on despite the prayers is a thorn. But the message that from the devil that comes along with that thorn is that God is not real. He doesn't love your family. He made you fatherless. I want us to see that it's not the thorn often that discourages us, but it's the message that is attached to the thorn. And I struggled as a young boy. And instead of hearing the messenger of Satan, I needed to hear the voice of God. Victor, my grace is sufficient for you. I love you. When you wonder why you fall again to sin, why is it that you were so sure you wouldn't flare up, you wouldn't be tempted, you wouldn't cheat, but you did it again? You don't know why it always comes back. But that is a thorn. So you can hear again Satan's whisper that you are a failure, a liar, you should give up your faith. Or you can hear God's voice saying, I love you, I made you fearfully and wonderfully. I can help you. When you get retrenched because of that downturn, and no matter how many resumes, letters you send out, there seems to be no response. That is a thorn. You can hear the messenger of Satan telling you that God doesn't care, you are worthless. Or you can sit and hear carefully the voice of God. My grace is sufficient for you. I love you and I will help you through. When you pray and pray and pray for years now for your children to come back to God, to walk on the straight and narrow path, it still doesn't happen. That is a thorn. You can hear Satan telling you that you have failed as a father, failed as a mother, or you can hear God's whisper that I'm in control and my grace is sufficient for you. When you try and try month after month to conceive, it's been years but nothing happens, your heart is pierced, that is a thorn. You can hear the voice of Satan's messenger that God doesn't love you, it's your fault. Or you can hear God's message that my grace is sufficient for you. When you go through mental distress as you struggle with your own emotions, you go through a turmoil that is difficult, so difficult to articulate. You feel isolated, frustrated. That is a thorn. It's an intrusive presence, you see. So you can hear Satan's whisper that you are useless, silly, worthless. Or you can hear the voice of God telling you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. My grace is sufficient for you. One thorn, two messages. Just this week, on Thursday morning, we heard the devastating and sudden news that our dear brother Joseph Chien passed on to glory because of a road accident in Istanbul. Pastor Joseph led in Church Fest in SJSM in July, just last year. And I hear testimonies that so many are blessed. And this is a stark reminder of how transient and temporary life is on earth. So his sudden death is a thorn. Satan will whisper, see, it's no use serving the Lord, giving your life to God. Don't do it. Take care of yourself. Yet the consistent call in scripture is obedience. And today, our dear brother Joseph Chien is in his heavenly kingdom and his task on earth is complete. And because the family has sent out the obituary notice also, as SJSM will do our little part, that the wake and the funeral will take place on Tuesday, Wednesday, the weeknight services, and the funeral on Thursday will be held here in SJSM premises. So the chapel and the halls. One thorn, two messages. Which do you hear? The paradox of scripture is this, that the weaker we are, the stronger we get. In our human weakness, with the thorn in our flesh, we rest on the infinite power of Christ and we become strong. And Paul wrote, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." We scratch our heads today and say, how come? Because in being weak, we become a showcase for Jesus' power to reign. We glorify and reflect the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let God be God. If he desires to show the perfection of power of Christ instead of removing the thorn, then he knows best. Trust him. Trust him because in time to come, there will be joy. Which message do you hear? One thorn, two messages. For those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Charles Spurgeon, whom I shared about 2 weeks back, and he suffered from mental distress, he puts it this way. You know, his writings are so born from his painful experiences. He says, if there were no sowing in tears, there would be no reaping in joy. If we were never captives, we could never lead our captivity captive. Our mouth had never been filled with holy laughter if it had not been first filled with the bitterness of grief. We must sow. We may have to sow in the wet weather of sorrow, but we shall reap and reap in the bright summer season of joy. Church, know this truth from scripture, that as you and I journey in this walk of life, there will be thorns and tears. Even when you saw God's mighty deliverance yesterday, even when God is with you today, as he was with Paul, you need to expect tears and thorns. But which message do you hear? Is it the voice of God saying, my grace is sufficient for you? My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Or do you hear the messenger of Satan and his message? The thorn is there, but it cannot define your life. It cannot. That is not your identity. You are first and foremost loved by God, fearfully and wonderfully, wonderfully made. Yes, there are billions of people in the world, but you are not mass-produced. The thorn in the flesh cannot rob that away from you. I started out by sharing about ugly dolls, and right at the end of the show, Moxie, the little ugly doll, the heroine of the show, heads out to the real world, the big world for the first time. She's very hesitant because she doesn't know if the child will like her as a toy, because all her life she has been told that she is ugly and out of place. And this happened. The little girl loves her, especially because she shares the same three-tooth smile that Moxie has. She realizes that she is accepted and loved just as she is. We who are made in the image of God, we are so loved by God. Today we look around and we see brokenness everywhere, but hear the truth that nothing will change God's love for you. The brokenness that we see is a stark reminder of the fall. That brokenness is a consequence of the fall. Sin distorted what God created to be perfect. So it's all right today that we see people around us with sound minds and others who are struggling. We see some who are fighting cancer for years and they lose the battle, while others are cured without even going through chemo. It's all right to have some born as sportsmen and women, and others born blind or deaf, and others without limbs. Because what doesn't and will never change is that we are created by a God who loves us. And what we know for sure is that what was destroyed by the fall of man or distorted by society will one day be restored when Christ makes all things new. And this gives us, church, new hope for the future, great hope, in fact, for the future. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Circumstances and the thorn in our flesh cannot dictate our identity. We are loved, so loved by God, and we must know that fully well. One thorn, two messages, which will you choose? The one that we choose will really determine how we live our lives. It will determine what happens tomorrow. Where do we place our faith? Who do we listen to? As a church, we continue to support mental health in that three-tier approach. And I'll share this with us once again, that the first tier is a general awareness as we talk about mental health at the pulpit, Christian education courses, different courses that we attend. So as a church, we won't shy away from talking about mental health. We want to create that awareness together as a church. The second is where we put together different support groups where there is a safe and supportive space for people to share their experiences, to learn from each other and build relationships. Support groups help people to see that they are not alone. And this is a work in progress as we aim to form these groups over time. As different ones really step forward to say, Pastor, I'm keen to run this support group, that support group. And I'm delighted to say that at least for next year, we will restart the Search for Life group. And the third area is where we are offering counseling as a church. So this is a one-to-one or couple counseling done by trained and experienced counselors. Not limited just to mental health issues. So family counseling, couple counseling, relational counseling, we will all cover together. And we offer that as a church in both in-person or virtual sessions through Zoom. And we are blessed to have recruited a lead counselor in Pastor Nelson Chu. So he will head up this ministry along with our counseling team. How to reach this counseling team? You can speak to any of the pastors, as I shared before, or fill up a simple contact form. We take privacy very seriously. So when you fill this form, the form will only reach the lead counselor directly, and he will get in touch with you. You don't even need to put the details of why you want to see a counselor. It can be for yourself or for somebody else. But you just put your contact details and somebody will contact you, or Nelson will contact you to learn more and thereafter to follow up on that. And this is what we want to do to support each other as a church. So this can be found on our church website and also the church bulletins. We support each other as a church. For mental distress is real, but hope is also real. Equally real is that each one of us, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, even when there is a thorn still sticking so loudly through the flesh. And I pray that the Lord will help us to see this beautiful truth, that we are so loved, needed by the hands of God. Father, I thank you that as we come together as a church, we can support each other, we can strengthen the body. Father, we pray that you teach us to care for each other. Teach us not to pass judgment, put labels, but expand, grow our heart, that we may learn to care better. Help us as we support each other for your glory. As we find strength and faith to keep pressing on for you. So enable us to hear your voice each time there is a thorn. Help us not to be misled by the messenger of Satan and his message, but to hear your voice that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that your grace is sufficient for us. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Father, we pray that you enable us. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.